Next item on the agenda is Kevin Sims, 08-1197. Good morning, sir.
Morning, Commissioner Bowman, members of the commission. Mr. Kevin Sims is requesting authorization to mechanically dredge approximately 708 cubic yards of state-owned bottom in an effort to obtain maximum depths of 5 feet mean low water for navigation adjacent to his property in the Allenson subdivision, situated along the Narrows slash Lincoln Bay in Virginia Beach. The project is protested by the North Allenson Water Recreation Committee. This is the vicinity map of the area taken from the city's e-mapping service. This area is called the Narrows. It's a federal channel connecting Broad Bay to Lincoln Bay. This is the site, highlighted in black. And the red star denotes the North Allenson community property and their pier. This was the original pier request. It was voided. If you notice, it was a 257-foot-long pier with a covered gazebo, with a 15-by-26 gazebo, and a 17-by-34 boathouse. And it did extend out to the 9-foot contour, the approximate 9-foot contour in this area. Due to concerns from the neighbors, the Corps of Engineers, and staff's concerns, the pier was reduced and modified to this plan, what we see now. It's 201 feet in length, extends out to the approximate 5-foot contour. There are no roof structures, and the head of the pier was modified to include a boat lift on the north side and a larger boat slip on the south side. If you notice, this was proposed specifically for the applicant's future 60-foot boat that would have a 5-foot draft. This is the pier proposal to scale on our GIS imagery. After the pier was reduced and modified with no roof structures, staff deemed it statutorily authorized in accordance with Section 28.2-1203, subsection A5. Basically, the pier was an NPN, no permit necessary. We notified all of the earlier protestants, and only one maintained their objection. We did notify all the protestants that a dredging permit would now be required, given that was part of the application request. As I said, only one maintained their objection. That was the North Allenson Water Recreation Committee. They were still concerned over the pier length and thought the dredging would adversely affect the natural shoaling of this area. This is, again, the pier proposal to scale. It does enter into privately leased oyster ground. The dredging would be around the head end of the pier, of the approximate 60 or 70 foot section on the end. We did contact the leaseholders and we received no comments. So this is the plan we have, requesting a 5-foot depth in this dredging footprint denoted in the pink shade. The offloading location would be on site. This is a cross section of the dredge area. Notice they do ask for a 1 foot of pre-maintenance over dredge that would take it essentially to 6 feet mean low water. And they do propose to use the spoil material on site for their residential development of the property. This is our last drawing. The agency comments DEQ required no permit for the activity. The Corps of Engineers issued an RP-18 regional permit for the pier and a letter of permission for the dredging activities. The City of Virginia Beach Waterfront Operations Division approved the pier and the dredging, and the City's Chesapeake Bay Preservation Board approved both the offloading plan for the spoils to be used as the development of the property. The VIMS comments recommended that they avoid shallow water dredging as it would adversely affect benthic algae and aquatic fauna. They also recommended lengthening the pier to reach desired depths. And these are some aerials I took about a month ago. The site is under development at the time. The proposed pier would come in this point, coming out, and the dredging would be in this general area. I didn't draw the pier in because I couldn't get this to scale. I didn't want to mislead anyone. This is the North Allenson Community Pier, and this is the proposed offloading location. Looking to the west, the pier would come out in this direction with the dredging at the end of the pier. Again, there's the North Allenson Pier. Looking north, this is First Landing State Park over in this area. The pier would come out this in this direction approximately 200 feet. And one last photo, one last aerial, a little bit further out. These are some ground shots. The pier, again, would come out at this corner of the riprap, extending out. I'm not sure what that marker is, but approximately in that direction. The North Allenton Community Pier is right here. Here's a stake. The pier would go straight out. And, of course, the dredging would be at the end. The approximate offloading location, again, we see the North Allenton Community Pier. These are ground shots taken last week as the pier construction has begun. We are looking from the North Allenton Pier, the approximate base of the pier, across to the barges working on the pier. A little farther out. And ground shots on site of the pier activity, and this is the approximate offloading location. A little bit closer. Extremely high tide Thursday of last week. This is the beginning of the pier. The contractor advised that they were approximately 130 feet out of a 200-foot pier, so the dredging would start about at the end of where the piles are set. And we're looking south at the construction, the offloading location again. There's the North Allenton Pier, and one last ground shot. Go right into the summary. Staff is uncertain how the dredging would adversely affect the shoaling adjacent to or near the North Allenton Community Pier, as the protestant has stated. Although the main concern of the protestant seems to center around the length of the proposed pier, staff has previously determined that the pier proposal meets the exemption criteria found in the code. Ultimately, staff finds the dredging request reasonable but recommends approval with the condition that dredging not occur north of the pier's main stem, but only on the southern side where the large boat would be moored. To further limit the dredging impacts, we recommend that the maximum depth of dredging be 5 feet mean low water with our standard 6-inch overdredge tolerance. A dredge depth of 5 feet at mean low water will tie into the existing 5-foot contour shown on the plan view drawings. Furthermore, if approved, staff recommends a royalty of 60 cents per cubic yard of dredged material be assessed, given that the applicant proposes to use the material for the upland development of the residential site. And again, this in pink is the proposal, and what we're recommending basically is that they are allowed to dredge on the southern side, down to 5 feet with 6 inches over dredge tolerance, and avoid dredging on the north end. Basically, you've got anywhere from 2.5 to 4 feet to 5 feet of water on this end, and we think that's reasonable for the smaller boats that he has. The protestant, at least the point of contact with the protestant, Mr. Thomas Dawson called yesterday and left a message, and I talked to him this morning. He could not make the meeting, but he did want to ensure that his protests and concerns remain part of the record. So I don't anticipate anyone else here other than the agent and the applicant. And I have any questions, I'm available.
Questions? Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Justin, if I just want to make sure I'm reading that right. You're recommending that dredging not be allowed on the north side of the pier.
Exactly.
And so the contour depths there would still be, that's still in excess of 4 feet at the offshore end of the boat lift.
Right here is a 5-foot contour.
Okay.
Yes, and then it's 2.5 on the back, so they have basically 3 to 5 feet.
And that's to accommodate a boat?
They have, in the application, of course, the southern end would be for the 60-foot boat that he's looking to purchase. The application also mentions, an 18-foot and a 30-foot boat, and we think the depths are reasonable now to accommodate those boats.
Thank you.
Further questions? Mr. Fox?
Perhaps a question for the applicant, but why does he need to have it dredged south of the southern part of the pier?
You mean in this area here?
Yes. Uh-huh.
I am assuming, and I think talking with the agent, that is if he wanted to lay the boat up along the finger pier instead of docking it in the slip, but they can answer that question.
Mr. Holland?
Just want to be clear, 100% of the dredge fall is going on up?
Yes, sir.
Any overboard dredge?
No, sir.
Further questions? Mr. Schick?
Is there any measurable offshore drift? Does it come south or north?
Yeah, it's a fairly dynamic area. Let me find one of the aerials that And the Corps is dredging the narrows probably every 2 years. But as you can see, the sand's moving around in this area. And even you can see on there, you can see the contours, you can see a wedge of sand that comes in. So it is a fairly dynamic area with the sand moving around to the south, coming around the Allenton Point. It may be something, if approved, that they would have to apply for maintenance dredging in the future, especially to keep a larger boat there.
Further questions? Actually, so now I have a question of M's. Lyle, will that be you or Mr. Hirshner or Mr. Chase? The specific comment, Virginia State of Marine Science report recommended the proposal to avoid shallow water dredging as it will adversely affect the benthic algae and aquatic fauna. Two things. It's been mentioned that this is a dynamic area already, so there's considerable movement. How long a term effect are we talking about as far as the comment that's made in there?
Well, that depends on the depth, which is, you know, it's about 2.5 feet of additional dredging. In some people's minds, it's still shallow water. Depends on the bottom type, a lot of that. And the fauna will go to a certain bottom type. So it's a very sandy area. I'm assuming it's mostly sand. That's correct. So it should be a very short time that that is actually repopulated. However, the dynamics of the area will affect that, as it does affect the area surrounding that.
Okay. Further questions from the question? Thank you, Lyle. I appreciate it. Okay. Is the applicant here represented? Mr. Eason, good morning.
Members of the commission, Mr. Josephson. I brought with me today Bob Simon, who was a permitting agent, to help me on this, and I also have the applicant, Mr. Sims, here in case there's some questions that I can't address.
Okay. Could you state your name for me for the record, please?
For the record, my name is Carl Eason. I'm with the law firm of Walcott Rivers Gates, and I represent Mr. Sims. I suffer from a recency effect, but let me first of all tell you that it's always a pleasure dealing with staff, and Justin has done his best to deal not only fairly with the applicant, but he also does his best to deal with a lot of protestants. This, as you can imagine, is a pier that's built in a pretty highly visible area. It's right there at the Narrows, and anybody that has recreational boating is going to go right by this premises. Consequently, anybody who goes by there sees what's going on and has an opportunity to object. So I guess there's a good and a bad to everything. Justin's done a very fair job in calling all the protestants, and basically what came up was the original proposal was 257 feet. That's a long pier. Why would anybody possibly want a pier 257 feet? Well, it's because we know that VIMS will come in and say, thou shalt not dredge. And so if we can peer out, don't dredge. As soon as we did that, we invited all kinds of objections. I mean, they came from everybody, including the recreational committee that we speak to. And that's an organization that's for people that don't live on the water, that have an opportunity to have a community peer to keep their boat there. I respectfully submit to you that you should give due deference to the objection by virtue of the fact that if somebody doesn't care enough to get up and come and be heard on it, that may go to the issue of the weight. But we don't think that the project, as we have now redefined it, impacts them whatsoever. We took the pier and we shortened it 50 feet, and we did that as an accommodation and a recommendation of staff. Too long, bring it back in. As soon as we bring it back in, then I read this morning, VIMS proposal, and that is lengthen the pier. So sometimes I feel a little bit like Sybil. So let me address VIMS first of all. When we talk about the dredging impact, first of all, we look at Mr. Sims already lives on the water, and he lives not far from this site. He's relocating the site, and he has a substantial investment, as does everybody that buys waterfront property. He owns three boats already. That's not in your application. What I left out of his application was the 48-foot Oceans that has a 4.8-foot draft on it. The reason I left that out is because I believe that the sin of omission to make sure that it's correct is better than a sin of overstatement. And I wasn't sure if that vessel was Coast Guard documented in Kevin's name or his dad's name. And I've sat here and listened too many times. People say, oh, I'm planning to build. Well, that's easy to do an application for planning to build. Or I've got my neighbor's 60-foot boat in my slip. It makes a difference if it's the applicant. So when we look at this, he currently owns three vessels. He is under contract and has a broker. Excuse me, misstatement. He's not under contract. It's not binding. He's looking at a boat through a broker right now, which is a 60-footer that's going to be the draft. So when we look at that project, the larger boat that he's proposing to get, and for the time being, the 48 Oceans will lay outbound of it. The 48 will go in the center slip, and then he's got a 32-foot and an 18-foot,
30-foot
The 30 foot is going to stay on that boat lift, and we'll get to that in just a second. One of the things we talk about is when we look at this VINS report, as they said, the impact upon the aquatic bottom, it's sandy. So will there be transient effects to dredging? Certainly there always are. But when you have a sandy bottom, that's pretty heavy material, and we would anticipate that's going to fall out and settle pretty quickly, probably 24 or 48 hours, something like that. Vince is correct. I think the reestablishment will be very, very rapid. One of the things you can see, and Justin showed it, I think, on slide 21 that was up there, is you see a large sandbar that forms through the narrows, and it's a constant maintenance. Maybe that's why they're not in my neighborhood at Rudy Inlet more often, to get rid of that sandbar. But if you see the tip of it right now, you can see it comes down to 2.4, 2.1, and that is migrating, and that's migrating to the south. And while I appreciate Justin's comments to reduce the dredging, which I learned about last night at 5 o'clock, I otherwise thought we had staff's unanimous support on it, I see that migration coming down, and it's coming into the area at the back of the lift where it is right now. The front, correct, you can see how rapidly it drops off, and we drop to a 3.5 and 4-foot contour. But if you look to the back of it toward the lot, you see it gets into a contour of roughly 2.5 to almost 3 feet. A lift has to operate to get a 30-foot boat on it, and the lift has to go down 3.5 feet. And if we're going to pay for the construction crew and the dredging to come up there, I certainly would appreciate not the elimination of that dredge at this point, because it's going to be very, very precious short order before that migration comes. And I think, frankly, this project is destined to have some maintenance dredging as a component, just like the Narrows does now. The other thing I would point out is that VIMS did a study in 2002, and I can't pronounce the name, Bilokavich, B-I-L-O-K-A-V-I-K, and it addressed the aquatic impact of dredging versus non-dredging and as far as the marine habitat, and found very little significance in that. But one of the things that I found striking was a definition of what constitutes shallow water versus deep water. And I believe that the federal regulations that VIMS is guided by tells us that shallow water is defined as a -6 mean low water. So if we keep that in mind, and then we look at the comments about what's going to happen in this quote-unquote shallow water, perhaps VIMS may give us some guidance as to why that federal definition of what constitutes shallow versus deep is at variance here. Total project is 708 feet. I'm not advocating the elimination of any of the dredging, but if we eliminated the wet slip, which is to the far north, the one that I suggest to you is going to be very rapidly occluded, all we're going to reduce from this project is probably about 56 cubic yards. Now, what are we doing with that dredge material? We've already been through, and you can see by the size of my file, it sort of reminds me of an R.J. Nutter file. We've already been down to Chesapeake Bay Board, and part of our Chesapeake Bay Board presentation was taking this dredge spoil and telling them exactly how many cubic yards were going on that lot and where it went. This is the last stop. We've got DEQ. We've got Corps of Engineers. We've got the wetlands. We have Mr. McIntyre overseeing us on the project, which is good. Mr. Scarper's helped us, and this is the last step. So I certainly hope that as we have proposed it and as we have reduced it, you'll find that it's a fair and reasonable proposal. If we look to the protestants, and I don't know if you all have in your package, I always enjoy these. The protestant has taken Mr. Simon's sealed drawing by Mr. Bartlett as an engineer. I didn't think we were supposed to draw on them and submit them, but we nevertheless we have it. And he has turned the large boat slip exactly parallel to the shore and placed it in water that has anywhere from 1.2 to 3 feet of water. And it's on the inside of the sandbar. I think the logic speaks for itself on that one. I don't need to elaborate further. That's just wholly untenable and not workable. When we look to the fact that only that one recreational committee has objected, I think that it speaks volumes for the applicants and for staff that they have eliminated the objections. And primarily, as I indicated to you, the objection was the length. But where else we always find objections is that when we build a pier, the aesthetics come into it. You're going to put a boat lift out there, and you're going to put a covered deck over the boat lift. And while that may be good from a maintenance point of view of having a boat under it, it certainly isn't for anybody that's enjoyed the water views and the aesthetics. That's not a valid objection, but to get rid of it, Mr. Sims said, eliminate it. Likewise, we had a proposed gazebo out there, and that proposed gazebo drew fire. It's a lightning rod. It's more people. It's a highly visible area. In fact, we had to eliminate a gazebo that was existing on site, on the land, in order to satisfy Chesapeake Bay. So we've lost the gazebos, or 0 and 2 in this case so far.
Lastly, we do impact upon some oyster grounds, and I don't have anything writing, but as late as yesterday, Mr. Meekins and Mr. Dixon came in, and they said to please share with the commission that they support the project. They know that it does extend out. It does go into the oyster grounds. And they also have talked to Mr. Sims, and Mr. Sims has agreed to be part of the Chesapeake Bay project and to allow the oyster rafts to be placed under his pier, which certainly is positive. The royalty that staff has recommended of 60 cents a cubic yard is certainly acceptable to the applicant. There is a variance between the recommendations that Justin put in his report versus what Mr. Simon put in the application, and that is the tolerance of the overdrage. And I think the distinction there was 6 inches versus a foot. The contractor needs to adhere as closely to, obviously, the water depth and to minimize the variance involved in it. So the recommendation of Justin would be acceptable. All right, I'll be pleased to entertain any questions that you might have on the project.
Any questions for Mr. East and Mr. Fox?
Could you address again why you need the dredging south of the southernmost slip, and if we allow the dredging north of the pier under the slip, why you would need to dredge, or why you'd want to dredge to the north of the whole thing?
He currently has three vessels, mm-hmm. and so if we start from the south, the big boat is in the wet slip, mm-hmm. and the vessel is too large to come out of the water, obviously. The 48-footer will go into the wet slip that is immediately adjacent to the main stem. All right. The 30-footer will go on the outbound on the boat lift. The only reason that I have recommended that we keep the dredging to the north of that is because many times when you bring a 32-foot boat in, you have to discharge your passengers, and you're going to be discharging them on that finger pier that is immediately to the far north of that. If you do not allow the dredging, a 32-foot boat is going to take probably a 3 to 3.5-foot contour on it, and you see that we're running 2.5 feet by the time we get to the landward side of that pier. So that would not afford a wet slip for disembarking passengers or to allow the boat to stay there on a transient basis. Also, to disallow that dredging, as I've already stated, and I don't want to be redundant, eclipses the operation of that lift at the back side of it. I think Justin's correct. At the front side of it, there is sufficient water depth, but as it shallows, it comes up on a very quick horizon if you look at the topography, and it eclipses the back side of it. The impact and the difference, I think, is de minimis considering the scope. And the last thing that I would remind the commission is that is a highly erodible area. If you look at that slide, you can see that sandbar, and it's a moving sandbar. It certainly is a dynamic area.
Further questions, Mr. Tankard?
You've mentioned now three times the sandbar and the erosion, and what is your long-term plan for maintenance of this dredging site?
But right now, we have not had any other piers or any other dredging projects in that immediate vicinity. We did have a Chesapeake Bay violation on the adjacent site that I think Mr. Simon and I are quite familiar with. But I think we're going to have to just take a wait-and-see attitude toward that. One thing that's curious when we look at the protestant here, he said that by creating the dredging that we're going to impact shoaling. Well, it's always been my experience that shoaling was sort of the antithesis of the boater's dream. I tried to chart a few shoals for the Coast Guard unsuccessfully in my boating past. But I think if we dig a crevice and we excavate and we dredge, that's going to reduce the impact of the shoaling on the immediate area. It's not going to enhance it, would be my common sense approach to it.
Further questions? Are you familiar with how often the dredging actually does occur in this area, the maintenance dredging by the Corps?
Do you know?
Raise your right hand. Solemnly swear the testimony you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, self you God.
Yes, sir.
State your name for the record, please.
Robert Simon, Waterfront Consulting, here as agent for Kevin Sims on this application. I believe the core cycle is every 2 to 3 years as it's needed through the narrows.
Okay, that's all I need. Any questions? Thank you.
Thank you. We hope that you approve it as submitted.
Okay. Anyone here in opposition to the project? Matters before the commission for discussion and action. Mr. Highland.
Due to the fact that they have reduced the dock length by 50 feet, they have taken away the boathouse, taken away the gazebo, and tried to cooperate with everybody. And on the northern end, I do know that if it shoals a little bit, they're not going to be able to get the lift on low tide to get the boat out. So I would move that we give the applicant the project as proposed.
Is there a second to the motion? Second by Mr. Schick. Further discussion? Mr. Robbins.
I just have a follow-up question for Justin in context of the motion, if I can. Justin, can you comment? I would agree with your assessment that right now there's enough water under that lift to operate a 32-foot boat, but to the applicant's point, that is a dynamic area. So if it shoals in the future and there's no dredging permitted on that north side, what would their recourse be?
I guess staff's concerns are these future dredging projects and what is future maintenance dredging or maintenance plans. We're looking at what it is now, and certainly every dredging application, it could change quickly or drastically. And as it is stated and shown in the survey information provided, now we thought it was adequate information, adequate depths. But understanding the concerns, it is a dynamic area. The only thing I'd just like to clear up is it sounded like Mr. Eason was amenable to the 6-inch over dredge tolerance versus the foot. So if that's the motion for the approval.
That's correct.
Okay.
Further questions? I guess just 2 points. In asking DEMS about the effects, it's apparent to me that there are short-term effects based on the material that's there. And also, since this place is subjected to maintenance dredging every 2 years, what's the difference of the impacts for maintenance dredging in close proximity to this project in comparison to what's asked for by the applicant? I'm also familiar with the boat lift aspect. Sometimes when you drop that boat lift in the water, you're basically reducing the amount of depth that you have, sometimes as much as 10 inches. I've experienced that where I am. I appreciate staff's position as far as being conservative in allowance, but at the same time, from a practicability standpoint, this does not give me a whole lot of heartburn. Motion made by Mr. Holland, second by Mr. Schick. Further discussion? Mr. Robbins?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would just point out that I think the applicant has made a number of concessions and trade-offs in trying to work with their neighbors and address the concerns of the protestants. I appreciate that fact. I think they've done a good job of trying to mitigate those effects by reducing the visual effects of the roof and the gazebo, et cetera. So I'm going to support the motion.
Further comment? All in favor of the motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion carries unanimously. Thank you.